What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Fireside Giants. I'm your host, Anthony Rivardo, and today I'm talking about another head coaching candidate for the New York Giants to consider. This one coming from the West Coast, Los Angeles, Jesse Minter, the defensive coordinator of the Chargers. Now, we've talked a lot about defensive coordinator for the Rams, Chris Shula. Let's talk about that other LA team that's also really good and also has an elite defense. And Jesse Minter is a guy that I have had my eye on since last year because I do enjoy watching the Chargers play football. I'm a big Jim Harbaugh fan. I'm a big Justin Herbert fan. And I've got family that lives out in LA and they support the Chargers. So when the Giants aren't playing or if the Giants are, you know, eliminated or on the bye week, whatever, I'll tune into some Chargers games. And I really like watching Jesse Minter's defense. It's explosive, it's versatile, and it's relentless. And if you watch that game on Monday night, man, tell me how much fun was that to watch Jesse Minter and that Chargers defense hand it to Jalen Hurts. They clipped his wings. And listen, the Eagles have not been the regular Eagles this year, but on Monday night, what they did to Jalen Hurts was just awesome. He had four interceptions all season long going into the game. He threw four interceptions in that game, and the Chargers defense came up big with a red zone stop, an interception in overtime to secure the win and move to 9-3 in a competitive AFC. Jesse Minter last year took over as the Los Angeles Chargers defensive coordinator. We're going to get into that, but before we do, let's go all the way back to his prior experience as well. He was with the Michigan Wolverines in 2023. Of course, we know that the Michigan Wolverines, we're not going to talk about what's going on with them in the current news cycle, but in 2023, national championship defense led by Jim Harbaugh, of course, as the head coach. Minter was the orchestrating piece on the defensive side of the ball. They allowed just 247 total yards per game that season, number one in the country in total defense, national championship win. And then they go ahead right over to the NFL. Harbaugh becomes a head coach for the Chargers, says, hey, I'm bringing this wise young defensive coordinator with me. This kid, he's a star. Let me bring him along to LA. And right away, that Chargers defense goes overnight from number 24 in points allowed in 2023 to number one in points allowed at 17.7 points per game last season. In 2025, they have once again ranked in the top five in points allowed per game. Teams struggle to score points against the Jesse Minter defense. That much is a fact. And even dating further back, before he was at Michigan with Jim Harbaugh, he was working under John Harbaugh with the Baltimore Ravens from 2017 to 2020. He spent four seasons there as a defensive assistant, all the way into a defensive backs coach role before, of course, going over to the Michigan Wolverines and becoming a defensive coordinator over there. He also was at Georgia State all the way back in 2015. And so he's been all over the place, but he's really worked with the Harbaughs very closely. And so even in Michigan, he was an interim head coach just for one game. So he got a glimpse of what it's like to be a head coach. And for that one game, the Wolverines did win 30-3, the first game of the 2023 season when Jim Harbaugh was sidelined. So very interesting stuff there. Very exciting background on Jesse Minter and some of the other traits that I want to talk about, not really just, you know, his numbers, his statistics, what he's done in the past with, you know, the defenses that he's coached, but how about him as a leader, as a player, as a person, and as a coach? I think he checks those boxes, man. If you listen to Jesse Minter speak, if you watch the way that he interacts with his players, he is damn impressive. He has a leadership and he has presence. That's something that he's always been praised for, is always being present. Being present in the moment and leading his players, speaking and communicating well on the sidelines and everything in between. I also find him to be very confident. I don't find him cocky. I just find him to be very confident, especially in his play calling. He's confident when he speaks. He's confident in his approach, and he's very confident in his players. And I think that shows up while he's calling plays, because sometimes he will take calculated risks that only a confident man would be willing to take. He can be ballsy when he's sending some of these blitzes, when he is moving some of these pieces around, using Derwin James as that chess piece. I think he's really impressive in his situational play calling, and that's the number one thing that I've complained about for the Giants this season. On the offensive side of the ball, on the defensive side of the ball, I don't think that the play calling on offense has been all that bad this season. The Giants actually have an average to slightly above offense, but in those critical moments, whether you're talking second down passing play against the Detroit Lions in the fourth quarter, whether you're talking throwing the ball against the Saints, whether you're talking throwing the ball in the fourth quarter against the Broncos that turned into an interception. It's been the situational play calling that I've criticized Mike Kafka for. And I thought that he's done a very poor job navigating situations, burning clock when he's supposed to, holding onto the ball, not putting it in harm's way, because I just think in situations, that's where the Giants have really imploded. And don't get me started on that. For the defense, I mean, come on. How many blown leads in the fourth quarter? How about sitting in the prevent defense against Dallas when all they need to do is get to midfield for Brandon Aubrey to stuff it to us, right? We know about the poor situational play calling defensively for the New York Giants this season. That's why Shane Bowen was fired. And to be completely honest, this past week, not the bye week, but the week prior, Monday Night Football versus the Patriots, didn't look all that much better with Charlie Bowen. Now, I'll give him the next 4 weeks to kind of prove himself. Let's see if the situational play calling improves. But I really think that it's been so poor on both sides of the ball all season long. And it's one of the reasons why the Giants have the record that they have, because they have blown four double-digit leads this season. They easily could be a six-win football team that's competitive at the very least. Instead, they are a two-win football team on a very long losing streak right now. And that's because they don't maximize situations. They don't have the play calling to come up big in those critical moments. And that's really drained them. So how does that tie into Jesse Minter? He comes up big in those moments, man. His defense and his play calling in situations is just so impressive. And again, if you watch that Monday Night Football game, I looked at that as a perfect audition from Jesse Minter to the New York Giants up against an NFC East opponent, the best team in football last season, the reigning Super Bowl champions. Their offense hasn't been what it's been in the past of this season, but Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, they still have a core of talented playmakers and a great offensive line, and Jesse Minter handed it to them, forcing Jalen Hurts to make mistakes, taking advantage, getting those turnovers, and winning that football game despite what was a shaky performance from the Los Angeles Chargers offense as they were dealing with a relentless pass rush from the Eagles as well. So I looked at that as an audition to the Giants in the sense that the Giants are going to evaluate these coaches, these coordinators that they're considering for the head coaching job based on the interview, but also based on the body of work that they put out there. And I think something that's going to hold extra stock is, did you come up big in those critical moments? Jesse Minter did. But not only did he do that, but on a primetime stage, Monday Night Football, a game that the Chargers really needed to win in order to kind of escape here and establish themselves as a true playoff team, got to have it game against the Eagles, who obviously play within the New York Giants division, the NFC East, an absolute hated rival of the Giants, and Jesse Minter shuts them down. I would like to see him do that as the head coach of the Giants, wouldn't you? I mean, how many times do we lose to the Eagles in just embarrassing fashion? Obviously, we got the blowout win against them on Thursday Night Football earlier this year, and then on the road, Scatterboo gets hurt in that game, and everything spirals out of control, and we lose a blowout against the Eagles. But how many blowouts have we lost against the Eagles? Far too many in recent years. But I just watched Jesse Minter audition to the New York Giants and say, hey, you want to stop losing to the Eagles? You want to start beating the Eagles? Hire me. I can shut down the Philadelphia Eagles with this elite defensive scheme that I deploy. Now let's talk about that defensive scheme. What does he put out there on the field? Well, again, he's got a great temper to him. He knows when to blitz. He knows when to be aggressive, but he knows also how to be pretty conservative in the right moments. But what I really love about Jesse Minter's defense is you will see great coverage, but you will see great pass rush as well. He has gotten a lot out of, in my opinion, a little on that defensive line. They have not invested a ton of resources. They actually just let Joey Bosa walk this past offseason. Yes, they have Khalil Mack, and he is an all-pro talent, but he is in the later stages of his career, and he is still putting up big-time numbers in Jesse Minter's defense. But so is guys like Tuipulotu, and some of the other underrated, unsung heroes on that defensive line. He does a really good job at calling those twists, those stunts, and allowing those defensive linemen to be in a position to pressure the quarterback, to sack the quarterback, and disrupt Jalen Hurts or whoever is in that backfield. And I think the run defense is really impressive too. This is a defense that's detail-driven. It's all based on discipline, fundamentals, and being adaptable. I think this defense really adapts to its opponent week to week. It doesn't look the same. That's why I called it versatile, because not only do they play a different front, sometimes you'll see a 3-4, sometimes you'll see a 4-3. They'll move those edge rushers around. But also, I think that the scheme really does change based on who Jesse Minter is game planning for, who is he coaching against. I think we see significant changes every time he's got a new opponent in front of him, and that's one of the things that I absolutely love to see. Let's talk about some of these other guys. Cam Hart, an unsung hero of that Chargers defense, not a high draft pick by any means, comes up big with that tipped ball that turns into a Tony Jefferson interception. Talk about Tony Jefferson. The guy was retired a couple years ago, only came out to play because he wanted to help the Los Angeles Chargers. He wanted to play for Harbaugh and Minter, comes out of retirement to do that. How about a guy like linebacker Troy Dye making big time plays, getting the most out of a linebacker there? None of these guys are high draft picks. You know, these are all reclamation projects, late round picks that were found by Jesse Minter, by Jim Harbaugh, by that front office over in LA, but they're all being maximized. And I think it's just so impressive. How about on third downs? We talk about situational play calling. They held the Eagles to a 30% conversion rate on third down on Monday Night Football. And that's been a trend under the Jesse Minter defense. Third down, offense has to have it. Fourth down, offense has to have it. Jesse Minter's got the play call to stop them and prevent them from getting it. And I think that's just something, that's a trait that you can't teach. That's a trait that does apply. So, okay, we've done a lot of discussion here now about Jesse Minter, how good he is defensively, first in red zone defense last season, you know, first in points allowed per game, as I mentioned. The guy constructs a great defensive scheme. How would he potentially translate as a head coach? What would make him a potentially good head coach? Well, I think that there are some experiences that he's gained in the past that are super valuable. So I mentioned earlier that he kind of coached underneath John Harbaugh and Jim Harbaugh. So why do I think that's really important to bring up? The Harbaugh brothers have a long-spanning track record of success, and they have a well-established reputation for building a program, right? Those two historically have fixed, built up, and sustained their winning, their success, and their programs. Harbaugh has gone from the 49ers, rebuilt that program from the ground up, and absolutely sustained that success. He went to Michigan. He did the same thing, and he's doing it again here with the Los Angeles Chargers. All Jim Harbaugh does is win. John Harbaugh has been coaching the Ravens for nearly 20 years now, and they have been a winning football team nearly all of those 20 years. They've been excellent, and he's just a great leader. And so I think Jesse Minter, 42 years old, you know, a younger head coach, but not too young to say, hey, you know, he'd be one of the youngest coaches in the league, maybe, but at 42 years old, he's been coaching for a long time. He's got experience, and it's who he's been coaching underneath, who's been propping him up, who he's been mentored by, and that's Jim and John Harbaugh. The Harbaugh brothers know how to run a program, and Jesse Minter has learned from both of them extensively. And so I think he's learned from their success how to run a program himself. And I think because he's been on both of those staffs, he's got an ability to connect and network and bring in some really good coordinators. I bet you he would hire a rockstar DC to help him as he maintains or as he steps into the role as a head coach. I think he could be a CEO and play that kind of role. Now, offensively, I think that he could pull somebody from the Ravens staff. They've had an explosive offense. Somebody from the Chargers staff. They've really found ways to develop Justin Herbert and get the most out of him despite really poor offensive line play because of injuries over there. So I just like his ability to evaluate and develop talent, get the most out of unsung heroes defensively. And, you know, are there question marks about what he could potentially do, you know, with being a CEO and leading an entire team? Sure, I do have my question marks about that. He's never been a head coach before. This would be a big swing for the New York Giants. You're basically swinging on one of those hotshot young defensive coordinators who has a really good mind for the game, who knows how to kind of lead that side of the ball. Question is, can he lead the offensive side of the ball? If you're going to hire Jesse Minter, you got to make sure that he's got a great offensive coordinator on board to join him on his staff. If not, you probably go in a different direction. But I really like his leadership. I like the way he's disciplined. I don't think this is a Giants team that would be led by a player's coach under Jesse Minter. I don't think this is a Giants team that would be undisciplined, that would have a lack of leadership in the locker room. I think that Jesse Minter would honestly be that leader and that he would be a coach who sets a standard the same way the Harbaugh brothers have. So I really think that's just valuable learning experiences and leadership to work under the Harbaughs for as long as he has, see how they run their programs, and potentially try to apply that to the New York Giants and be that leader, be that CEO type. So I really like Jesse Minter, guys. I think that that was a hell of an audition on Monday Night Football. He's going to have a lot of interest from teams across the league as a potential head coaching candidate. For him to go on Monday night and do what he did to Jalen Hurts and the Eagles in the fashion that he did it, that says a lot because he was on the primetime stage auditioning, not just to the New York Giants, but to every team that might be considering a head coaching change this upcoming offseason. This is a guy who went out there and he put it all on the field on Monday night. And his players, they came to play, but he really called one hell of a game. So he's been mentored by two of the NFL's most proven and respected head coaches. He's had tons of success in every defensive metric, whether you're talking pass defense, run defense. He's done it at the collegiate level. He's done it at the NFL level. And he has found unsung heroes in his defenses as well and developed talent. Underused talent all of a sudden becomes maximized with Jesse Minter. So I like all those traits, man. Question mark, sure. Doesn't have head coaching experience. I don't know what his offense would look like. I don't know who he would hire as a head coach, but I just want to kind of update you guys here with a quick episode and say, hey, keep an eye on Jesse Minter. Four games left in the regular season. Chargers are going to be playing playoff football this year once again, like they did last year. They lost that playoff game last year against the Texans. Their defense started out really hot in that game. Jesse Minter called a good first half of that game, but the offense couldn't get the ball moving. The Texans defense overwhelmed them, and then the game just kind of broke open for Houston. But let's see, maybe it's different this time around. I think that the Chargers could be a team that play upset across the league in the playoffs this year because of their defense. Their defense is super impressive. It's going to keep them in games, and it's just about asking Justin Herbert to give you one good drive here and there, and then you can win games. And that's what the Chargers have been doing all season long. They really haven't been winning games because of their offense this year. It's been because of their defense. They've got some pieces on offense. Ladd McConkey. They've got Justin Herbert, of course. They've got a hell of a kicker in Dicker the Kicker. You know, they've got a really good football team, but it's that defense led by Derwin James. Khalil Mack has missed a lot of time this season due to an injury. Tulopo has stepped up and made the difference. Jesse Minter is just a really good coach, man. I like him a lot. And guys, once again, I'm not saying he's my number one candidate. I'm not saying that he's, you know, my favorite for the job. But if you want to look at a guy defensively, defensive mastermind, who's been mentored by some really good coaches, I think Jesse Minter is a very attractive option. So let me know your thoughts on Jesse Minter down below in the comment section. Where does he rank on your head coaching tier list? Is he an S-tier candidate, an A-tier, B-tier? Is he number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on your list of head coaching candidates? Let me know. I'm excited to hear down below in the comment section. Do make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed. Subscribe if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss an episode and comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you listen to Apple or Spotify, make sure to leave us a 5-star review. Go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. And without further ado, I'll catch you on the next one. Have a good one, and let's go New York Giants.